All right, and welcome to the Blacklist Sessions. Thank you so much for joining us on a day where the stock market has tanked the most since 2008.
Has it really?
It's the biggest stock market crash since then. Over 7%. 2,000 points gone from the Dow.
Did that affect you?
Or? you could say that, but but I just look at it as a buying opportunity. But I'm very excited because we have our special guest on the podcast today, Miss Katie Jane.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, Jay.
Oh, thank you for coming out. I know. I'm so glad that we managed to get together.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm really, really happy to have you on the podcast because you've kind of taken a different approach to the music industry as most people do.
I have.
So I'd like to talk to you about, you know, what that entails basically.
For me, it was kind of sink or swim. I don't think I was really cut out for the traditional model of the music industry. I don't really know how to do it either. And so I kind of, I sort of looked at it in a different way and tried to make my way through it in a way that kind of made me happy, made my heart happy. And I didn't feel like I was compromising myself or sort of like getting sucked into this negative kind of void that, you know, I didn't really know much about. So
yeah, right. So what were some of the things that you did? Like, I want to sort of hear about your journey.
My journey. So I started my music career in England in, I don't know, like 2015, I think. And we weren't very good. So that was when I really started figuring out how to do things on my own. So I was literally on Google going, Google, how do I book a gig? And it must have worked because our first gig was the Isle of Wight Festival headlined by Fleetwood Mac.
That sounds like a really, really little gig, that one.
Look, the opportunities in country music in England, they were there for the picking and we were there at the right time. I was in a trio, so I had support. I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself at that time. I loved writing songs. That was when we met and we wrote some bangers.
Oh, yes. We certainly did.
but I didn't, you know, I couldn't play guitar. I didn't know much about my voice. I didn't really know what I was trying to say as an artist either. But I just had the best time. I loved making music and I was so excited. Coming from a country music fan to actually being able to get on stage was just, I was just so happy,
yeah.
You know. And so I wanted to keep doing that. So I would just Google, how do I do this. And it took me a while before it really clicked, but obviously then I had to come back to Australia and I started on a solo career and I started going through the traditional models. You know, I went to the Academy of Country Music, which is great, by the way. I started working with companies that everyone else was working with. I started looking at trying to brand myself as every other blonde country music artist out there, and I was just following. I didn't really know what else to do. So that's where I kind of started running into problems and realizing that I had to take a different approach.
Yeah, well, I think it's really interesting you say that. I had a guy on the podcast named Nick Bendel, and he runs a marketing agency. Yeah. And he said exactly what you were saying. Like, when the rest of your competition is doing this thing,
yeah,
it's a good idea to go
to
and kind do of the
go
other
a bit
thing.
Rogue. Yeah. And I think about it now and it seems quite smart, but I didn't know what I was doing. Like, I wasn't being smart about it. I was just trying to survive and make music, and that's the end. I had to kind of go away from what everyone else was doing because I just couldn't compete. Like, I wasn't bringing anything new to the table. You know, I wasn't any different to any other artist, but so why would I take the same routes where they're doing it better? Like, you know?
Yeah, I think that's such a big component of business is really bringing something new to the table,
yeah.
Which is something that I've really tried to focus on with like the film business and, you know,
it's
create
working.
Something new. It seems to be. You know, we're a couple of years in and it seems to be going well. But, you know, yeah, just like bringing something new to the table. So what were, I guess, some of the things that you did, which were kind of a bit different, a bit new?
So the main thing that I did, the one pinnacle, and I didn't know what was going to happen, but I just was so frustrated with I just wanted to get to know the fans, the people who would like my music. That's all I cared about. So I started building a community online. I started going live every week consistently at the same time, and I was terrified. But and I couldn't play guitar, so I couldn't even give them music. But I just started sitting in front of my phone and chatting and just sharing myself and trying to get to know them as much as possible. And just that changed everything for me. Mm. I didn't need anyone to give me validation or permission anymore. I had my community. So
yeah, well, that's the fantastic thing about the internet now. Yeah. Like, you know, you can basically just get your audience direct, you know. Mm. You don't have to go through any gatekeepers. You don't have to worry about a label. You don't have to worry about having a manager or, you know, the right connections. If you're doing something great and people really connect with that, it's easy for people to find you online now.
As long as you're there, like, and stop and not, and don't be scared. I was scared for so long that I wasn't good enough or funny enough or talented enough. It doesn't matter. I'm a nice person. It's like, I love to connect. So it was perfect. And yeah, so I did that for 11 months and I kind of like had to give it away because I realized at the end I started this with good intentions and I wanted to connect. And then after a while, I kind of was doing it out of ego, like that I was doing it because I've never missed a live and I've got to show up for my community. I'm like, stuff that. Like, I need to provide value.
Yes.
I need to be giving and giving and giving and not taking a thing from my community. And so I stopped my lives because I wasn't, you know, there's no easy way to do it. There's no right way to do it. You just got to feel what feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you're providing value? Do you feel like you're giving joy to people? And if you're not, well, don't do that and go do something else. Like, just find other ways to do it. So
that's an incredible quote. I'm going to cut that out and I think you should use that everywhere.
Okay, thanks.
It all it's so right and yeah. I'm so glad that like you get it. Like,
yeah,
it
took me a while.
It's value.
Just give, 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 because that's all you want. You just want people who like your music and you're the one who writes it. So you want people who like you or can find some sort of connection with you. And yeah, you're good to go. What else do you need?
Yeah, well, that's it. So you do a lot of different things too.
I do.
You're kind of like, you know, you're doing the artist thing, but there's also a lot of other things that are going on. So I'll be keen to hear about
that. All right, so I'm completely obsessed with the country music industry and I just want to know everything about it. Like, once I started realizing, all right, I can do this and I can build a community and maybe I've got something to give here, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. So I'm now second year at university. I'm doing a degree in creative industries. A lot of people are like, what's that? It's a new degree and it's smart because the creative industries and intellectual property are going to be the main trading jobs in the future when everything becomes automated. So if you can create things, it's quite smart for you to kind of figure out how to monetize that. And I'm not in a monetizing stage, but I'm in a very creative stage. I make music. I'm really interested in the digital space. I love not marketing, but like exciting ways to share things, which I mm-hmm. guess is marketing. And so with my degree, I'm doing this really cool way through it where I do a directive that I get to, instead of doing a major or minor, so I could have done a major in music and had most of my courses be music, but I just wanted more control and to strengthen every weakness I had. So I do a directive where I take courses from within the creative industry degree and I can take courses from without. So like I can do I don't know, what have I got today? I got back-to-back tutorials today. One's creative industries entrepreneurship and the other is professional writing, because mm-hmm. I suck at writing,
yep.
You know? I'm really bad at it and I want to get better at it because it's such a great way to communicate if you do it right.
Definitely, 100%. So I have a lot of varied opinions on the podcast, which is great. You know, some people say, oh, you know, I didn't really worry about uni. I didn't think I needed it.
Yeah.
And then some people are like, oh, uni's fantastic. You know, I had a great time. Yeah. So I'd be keen to hear your experience about like what you've got out of the uni degree so far.
So I think I went around things a bit backwards. So a bit of backstory on me is I grew up in a country town and I left when I was 19. I took a van and I put a mattress in the back and I drove away and I traveled for 10 years.
That's epic.
Yeah, it was great. And that's how I ended up. Last place I lived was England. And then I found music and then I got serious. So I'm 32 right now doing uni.
What? No.
Yeah.
25.
I really 25. Don't want to admit it. Can we cut that one out? But I think it's important for me to admit this because I'm 32 and I've had a big life and I've never been scholarly. I didn't finish high school. I wanted to work. Like, I always wanted to work. So now that I've found music, uni is great. Mm-hmm. Like, cause I'm so invested and I love that there's somewhere that I can get all this education and I'm in a really supported environment and I'm part of a community that's, you know, it's different to the rest of the world. You know, I've lived a lot of places and unis, it's insular and I wouldn't have survived if I'd gone in at 18.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm so keen on learning that I'm just so, so happy to be there.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, it's good to hear that there's, you know, there's a real community there, which I think for a lot of people is quite an important thing to mm-hmm. just continue that drive and make sure it stays strong. And I guess you've got accountability to your peers and all that kind of thing as well.
It's great because I do have a lot of freedom, especially when we do group projects that I try and link everything I'm doing at uni back to music. So yep. I'm very selfish when we're in a group project. I'm like, can we do something about music? And they're all on board and excited and happy, and I get along well with my tutors, and they're all really, you know, they're really wanting to help me help myself, and that's great.
It is great. And, you know, it's the music industry is the best. So it's easy
it's
to
hard.
See why. It is hard, you know, like it's like every other industry. It's very challenging. And many folks, especially younger folks, can just walk in and think, oh, you know, let's get up, play a few songs. But it is not that way.
And it's really sad because I'm only 2 years in on an independent career in Australia, and I'm so jaded. Like, I find it so funny. I'm like, how did I get from this bubbly, like, I was so enthusiastic and excited about everything, and now I'm like, oh, man, this is tough.
Yeah, it is. It is challenging. But I think, you know, the best things in life are the things you got to work for.
It's so worth it. And I got to remind myself of that because I do get to points where I'm like, oh, I'm tired, and I'm like, is this working? Am I making the right decision? And then I still don't know. Like, I don't know the answers to that, but it's the only thing I can do.
Yeah, well, I think you're a fantastic example for a lot of artists in the industry about content. Which is so important. It's how I've built my business up from the ground, and I'd spent a lot of time on content. Yeah. So I'd be keen to hear like your thoughts on content and like the approach that you've taken.
So content was the worst word I've ever heard in my life back, you know, about maybe a year ago, and especially Instagram. And I'm studying people's it was not my thing. Hey, I was like, this is just like not plastic, but I admire people who really can get it right, especially when it comes to curating an Instagram profile.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the best thing I ever did was not give a damn about quality, wearing makeup, right angles, right filter. Like I just like scroll through and I touch one. If I like it, I'm like, meh, or it just got unfiltered. The thing about content is just post it. Just do it. Like, it's stop thinking about it. Stop caring about what people think of you. I think that's the major one, because if you're looking at something you're about to post and you're thinking of five people in your head and what they're going to think about it, you need to get rid of those five people. Like, you can't care what people think. And also break the rules. On Instagram, I post a picture that has nothing to do with the description just because I want to write a big blog about something that I'm feeling at that point. And I'm like, oh, I need a picture to put up. Like, it doesn't matter. Just break the rules, but just post stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. People, it's so, so important. Like, I'm really big on that. And for me, a lot of people always have the debate, you know, is it quantity or it's quality?
Who cares?
There's always there's the thought of, well, who defines quality?
Yeah.
For me, I define the quality.
Yeah.
But I always just say both. Like, you want to be posting consistently and you want to be making sure the quality is, I guess, on brand is probably the
on
right way to describe
it. On brand is perfect. Yeah. And I think what happens with posting is that you stop thinking about it on the way your whole page is going to look and start thinking about people have very limited attention spans. They're scrolling through. They're going quickly. You want to enter their brain once a day. You want them to think of you. When someone's thinking about making a music video and they've just scrolled through Instagram and they see all your content, they're going to go to you. When someone's looking to book a festival, if I am front and center of their mind, they will consider me. Like, it's that simple.
It really is. It's so true. And I get those messages all the time from people on Facebook that have seen a post. They've seen a post on Instagram. They're like, oh, man, I can't wait to do that clip. I just saw you doing this clip. Oh, I'm so jealous.
So you've created a great community around what you're doing too, because you come from our industry.
I do.
And I think it's very, very important that you are one of us. You're not one of the people trying to like take advantage of us. You know what I mean? Like you care about us, and you can see that in your community and your messaging. It's all on point.
Like, yeah, well, that's it. Like I understand where artists come from, like mm-hmm. being an artist myself and still releasing music, which is coming up soon.
Yeah, soon. That's gonna
yeah, be like, fun. like doing all that and releasing music, like I get it. Like I know what artists are after. I know what they need and I know
you
what
know the struggle.
I do. And I know what the video needs as well. So it's good that I can really bridge that gap, which I think is important. And something else which I wanted to touch on was, you know, like, a lot of people are trying to break into the industry. You mm-hmm. know, they're trying to get into the industry
Run.
And get
in. I'm joking. Cheated.
That's it. So, yeah, like, a lot of people are trying to get in there. I'll share my answer okay. in a minute, but I wanted to know, okay. like, what your thoughts were about, like, the industry and what you should do to kind of do, like, make progress there.
You should realize that you have a free tool at your fingertips. Stop paying people for things that you can do yourself. Educate yourself. Google is your best friend. And find people that you can trust to ask questions. Anyone in our position who's been through those starting, getting through the gates, we are more than happy to turn around and give back because it's hard. Mm. You don't know what's going on. It's very hard.
Yeah, you can't really hit a target if you can't even see where the target is.
And don't let the stars and the, like, if you're like, I want to be famous, don't let that get in your way because it's hard work and it's a lot of work.
It is, yeah. And I think you got to go into it for the right reasons too. Like, to go and to just be famous, like, I don't know.
If you love making music and you love connecting with people and you just want to be heard, just do it.
Yeah, for sure. You I think that's this. Really great advice. So, so I guess you just have to really follow your own path.
Yeah.
You know, and just learn as much as you can. I think that's been the biggest thing for me is just seeking out as much information as you possibly can.
Nerd alert.
I know.
I always give Jay crap because I'm like, oh, you're such a nerd because he's literally figuring out like the littlest details to everything that's necessary.
Yep.
I'll leave it all to you.
I think that's why like when we've written songs together and we've done other stuff like worked on clips, it's such a great team because I'm very analytical.
Yeah.
Like, I'm creative, but very analytical. Yeah. It's a weird combination.
And I'm, like, off with the fairies, and I'm like, what about this? Like,
and, like, so creative, and I think that's fantastic, you know? It's a real yin and yang there.
Yeah, it's a good team, because Jay was my first, I was Jay's first video.
Yes.
Which I'm very proud of, actually. I'm like, I was the first one. And now, you know, nominated for Golden Guitars, Lee Gerning, Wolf Brothers, so... Don't worry about Katie.
Oh, Katie. Yeah, you know, it was really fun that first clip that we did. I kind of just went in and I'd seen a lot of music videos, done a lot of shooting, but I was like, okay, what am I doing? Let's do a thing.
Well, that was exactly the same for me. I got to storyboard that whole thing. I'd never planned a video like that. I didn't realize that I was so invested because it's a secondary way to tell the story. Mm. And I loved it, the little tiny bits of like, and then we go here and then this whole thing culminates. And at the end, like it was so exciting booking the actors. Like I really enjoyed that whole process, which is why I kind of come in on that space now and like love to be a part of it. But yeah,
the video space is really fun.
Yeah,
you know, like I've spent so much time creating sonically. It's really nice to branch out and do it visually. Yeah. You know, all the colors and the angles. Oh,
nerd alert!
That's the stuff I love.
Oh, good team.
Yes, that's right. So, what do you think it was that drew you to country music as opposed to say like pop or rock?
Yeah. So, as a kid, I was pretty sheep-like, and I didn't realize I was kind of musical. Like I'd always write songs. Like I just did it all the time, and I thought everyone did that. But I thought I was going to be the next Britney Spears. It wasn't until, because I didn't even, like, we grew up with country music, but it was so taboo back then. Like, it was such a
dirty word.
Yeah, like all my friends loved Nelly and, like, you know, all the cool cats. It wasn't until I was in America for the first time and I lived in Texas. Sorry.
Oh, that's epic. I love Texas.
Yeah, I lived in Austin and I remember driving. I wasn't driving. I never drove. I was too scared. I was in the passenger seat and we were driving along and it was just something really mundane and Miranda Lambert's The House That Built Me came on the radio and I was like, this is on like the radio, like the real radio, like you can just hear country music. And I realized that, oh, it's it's okay to like country music. And then I realized that actually all I want to do is tell stories, and that's where country music is. It was once I realized that I could do country music, everything just fell into place. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a similar story for everyone. There's that one song that they hear which changes everything.
Oh, good song.
And for me, that song was Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy.
Hey, because you're pretty rock and roll, aren't you?
Oh,
and
yes.
So that song is like a perfect blend.
I know. Yes. I can still remember exactly where I was standing too. I was out at Bargo. So if anyone knows Australia, Bargo's out in the country a little bit. I won't be too derogatory to that place. It's a beautiful place. Beautiful place out at Bargo.
Go people.
And I was standing in the Bargo pub. I was with one of
at
my...
the bar?
Oh, very close to the bar.
Sorry.
Surprise, surprise.
You go.
Yeah, so I was standing there and one of my friends was playing and I was standing with another one of my friends. And then in the break music, I heard Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy come on over the speakers. Yes, that one. And it started with that riff, that da-na, da-na, da-na.
Yeah, it's heavy.
God, oh, just listen to that. Nearly started crying. It was that good.
And then you were like, all right, so I have a place in country music.
Yeah, and I turned to my friend and I said, like, this is great. And he said, this is country music.
This is the thing. People don't get it. And still, people don't get it. Like, and I love watching these conversations unfold. Oh, I like all music. You know, like, do you like country music? I like all music. I'm like, have you even heard any? There's some good stuff. And look, honestly, I used to be the same. I was an American country music fan as a kid. I was Garth Brooks, Dixie Chicks, Keith Urban. Well, Keith is whatever, but
it's basically American.
When
at this
I thought of Australian country music, I thought Slim Dusty, John Williamson, and I didn't feel like there was any place for me. But I didn't know. And then I came home from England and I got really immersed in this community and I was like, oh my God, there's some good stuff here.
There sure is. I'm really excited about the future of Australian country because I remember over the last probably 10 years I've been in the industry, the switch kind of happened. And I tried as much as I could help to contribute to that as well. Because we kind of, with my old band, Forever Road, we kind of come into Tamworth with our big distorted guitars and rock and roll. And all old
folks what are y'all
like,
doing around here? Get out of here, boy.
Ain't no Hank Williams song. Ain't no country music.
Play some real country.
Only listen to country.
I don't know why we're American. But
I know. It's more like, what's that, mate?
Mate, you don't know country music. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So we kind of did that. And there was a lot of younger artists that were coming through that were really updating the sound, which I think was a fantastic thing. And it's really opened up country music in Australia. You know, you're getting artists like Mel Dyer.
Top 30. Oh. She's just transitioned to... She has opened doors for girls like me. I cannot thank that girl enough because she's leading a path that is now so accessible to someone like me to even think about getting on Australian mainstream radio. Like before, we had Morgan who had to go to Nashville to come back and get played in Newcastle. You know, like, yeah, I'm so excited with how it's going.
Well, that's it. I mean, country is now cool.
Yes.
That's the thing. It's, you know,
back,
like,
baby.
When CMC can sell out a festival 2 years in a row, 20,000 tickets, there's a bit of a market there.
There is. And I think that there's still that American, like, leaning. So we have to get our Australian music to those people. And this is the power of the internet, guys. Literally, this is exactly what, if you were an emerging artist and you wanted to go on the internet and figure out how to find those people that are at CMC watching Luke Combs and losing their mind, you can go find them and you can show them your music and you can ask them if they like it and then you can have a conversation and build a community.
Yes.
Like, you don't need to be on the stage at CMC. You can get this. Yeah.
I love the internet. Like, it has changed
it's free.
Everything. It is free. And there's
and
memes.
That's great for me because I'm such a cheapskate.
Yeah, I think it's so great. And, you know, like, I was in the studio the other day. I was doing a bit of filming for a young artist. And they're there talking about, like, being online and, like, what people see online. And I just think, like, 15 years ago, no one would have talked about the internet. Like,
no, it was not a thing. Like iPhones, 2007, I think the first iPhone came out, something crazy like that. And now we are stuck on our devices and there is so much stuff in them. Like,
I know.
I'm literally, you're recording a podcast right now. I broke the fourth wall. And I'm recording it on my phone for later use because I have an app that, like, it distributes my podcast for me. I do, like, you can do everything on your phone. It's crazy.
The future is now. I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too.
The next development is the one that really excites me, though.
What's the next development?
Yes, so...
Tell me.
It's probably going to be a few steps before it, but the next big development is getting people from looking down here, you know, looking at a phone if you're listening to audio, to looking up here. You know, these devices, they're going to disappear.
You think like the glasses thing with the, and then you see like the screen. Yeah.
I think that's the next step.
So we can walk on the pavement and not walk into traffic.
And I think following that is going to be fully integration.
Like the chip in your head.
Yep.
Yeah.
Neuralink.
I'm scared of that because when I was like 14, one of those, I don't know, the religious people with the books on the street, they gave me this pamphlet and it foretold about the chip in your head and to get to heaven, you had to cut your head off or something. And I'm like, I'm just watching all this stuff develop. I'm like, oh God. But yeah, I think it's going to happen. I mean, we're all becoming one with technology and it's scary, but man, it's so exciting. We are living through the technological revolution.
Yes.
Like, this is what history is going to be written about. And whether it goes good or bad, like, we get to experience this.
Yeah, well, that's it. I'm really excited about it. One, because I love technology.
Yeah.
And nerd. Well, you're going to get it.
Sorry,
all right. Yeah, so I love technology, nerd alert. But the other thing is, I feel like it makes me so much more efficient.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible what you can do. Like, I can be 1,000 miles away from where I am, and as long as I have an internet connection, I can connect the entire world.
Yeah.
Like, even the other day, I was just sending home loan documents through to my mortgage broker, and it went from the builder to me to the mortgage broker within, like, half a second.
You're done. It's everyone's connected.
Yes.
You're connected to everything. You don't need all these middlemen and gatekeepers. You are your own gatekeeper.
That's right. And I think it makes you so much more intelligent too. Like, having access to a phone answers so many questions.
Right? How outdated is the school system now?
I know.
Because we've got Google and we've got calculators and, you know, like, the world needs to catch up with what's happening. And it is scary. And I think people are really resistant to change and things that they don't understand. And even for me, I go into my device and I'm not using it at 100%. Like, I'm probably using 25% of the capacity of what that phone can do because I don't know.
Yep.
You know, the other apps and all the things I can use it for, but you probably do.
Yeah, I use it quite a bit. You know, a lot of people speak of, like, the evils of technology and social media. But I think, you know, it's just a reflection of what's within us. You need to find the positives that come out of it and use those to your advantage, because just like anything, it's a tool. You know, a car can be incredibly useful, but it can also kill you if you use it the wrong way.
Yeah, don't, you know, put your handbrake on, people. But it's things like, you know, they talk about body image issues and stuff like that, but Instagram was just Dolly magazine.
Yes,
you know,
very true.
Like, Facebook was, did we used to have Bebo? What was that?
Oh my God.
And like, you know, the neighborhood watch was Facebook. You'd all get together on a Sunday and you'd talk about, what did you do today? Like, what's on your mind?
That's right. You know, it's just made it more efficient and easier.
Yeah. It's just human nature utilizing this technology. So if there is a problem with it, it's us.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's a really good, good piece that we've touched on there, because, something that I've said, before and that I've heard from other people is that, when you're looking to run a business, like, people are like, oh, you know, how's this going to change in the next 2 years, 3 years? How's it going to change in the next 5 years? But it's a great quote. I think it was from Jeff Bezos, and he says, what's not going to change?
Yeah.
And that's an incredibly powerful thing, regardless of what industry you're in. So if you're a musician, people aren't going to change in 10 years. They might be using different devices, but still in their heads, it's all.
This is why community is important. Community was around, like, the community. Communities around artists and their music, people who felt affected by it, we're just now super accessible to that, like, to build that community, love that community. That's not going to change. The platforms will change. Emails out, like, I've started text messaging. Text messaging's the new thing. But, you know, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, like, there's so many platforms, but what doesn't change through those platforms is just connecting with people.
Yeah, I think, and that's what people crave too. Because, you know, you go back, say, you know, 50 years. I was having a discussion with my mum the other day about...
Your mum's the best.
Yeah, she's great. But, yeah, like just having a discussion, like they never used to really leave the town. Like if you wanted to play tennis, you'd do it in the local town. If you wanted to go out, you'd go to the local dance and that'd, you know, be in the town. But now you can connect with a community across the entire world, which I think is really powerful.
It gives you bigger thoughts as well. Like you're not sort of stuck in that product of your raisin brain cycle. Like I've changed so much from traveling, just coming from a town like Dubbo on a farm outside of Dubbo. Like I had a lot of ingrained ideas about the world that were not true. Like not, they were that kind of ideas that worked in that kind of setting. But, you know, I'm up in Texas and I'm like, this is different. Like, and my brain changes. And now that we have the internet, we can see different points of view. We can see shifts towards equality that are a lot quicker than what they would have, you know, it's taken so long for all this to happen in the technological age. Everything's happening really quickly that people can't really keep up. They're like, but what about men's rights? Like, we only got women's rights. Like, what? Come on.
Everyone is right.
Everyone is equal.
Yeah, well, I think that is the great thing about the internet is it gives a voice to everyone.
Everyone, and that's great. Yeah.
And your ideas are completely out in the open. Yeah. So if they suck, like, they're going to get scrutinized. Yeah. So I think it's a really good way to find... I guess the right balance of everything in society.
I think it's important. We were touching on new artists and young artists and not even new artists, but anyone. It doesn't matter if you suck on the internet. Play. Mm. Fail. Fail 100 times because when you win, the people don't remember when you fail. I've failed so many times. I'm failing right now, like literally tanking on, you know, like it doesn't matter. It's second. There's no first impression anymore. It's like you get a second, third, fourth, fifth chance. Just keep playing, trying things, and just be really brave and put yourself out there.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think you're winning, Katie Jane.
No.
But it's been really great to talk to you. I've got one more question before we wrap up.
Oh, look at you doing your research.
Ooh, yes. So what is the one thing that you think artists get wrong the most?
The one thing that artists get wrong the most?
Yeah, where do they mess up?
They care what people think.
Yep.
They try and brand themselves to fit in instead of standing out. They go to companies that take their money to give them stuff that they think they need. But, I mean, it's good to go through that sort of stuff, but educate yourself. Don't care what people think and find a way to be you and say exactly what you want to say. Find your voice.
Amazing. So that's fantastic advice. So how do people get in contact with you? Because I know you run Music Podcast.
So I've got a website, katiejane.com.au, where you can pretty much link to everything that I do. I'm very active on Facebook and all of the socials. But yeah, I do have a podcast as well. So it's a country music podcast.
Yep.
But yeah, come find me. I'm on the internet. Google it.
Katie Jane. J-A-Y-N-E. K-J. Yeah.
It's Katie with an I-E. It's a stupid name. Why didn't I make it something simple? Look, being individual, all right?
That's right. As long as it works. So, Katie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's great to hear your insight and you know, hear about all the great things you've been doing.
Man, it's awesome. I'm so glad we got to do this. And, you know, I'm a big fan of yours. So thank you for having me.
All right. And on that note, you've been listening to the Blacklist Sessions. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm really excited about the next episode. We have a well-known author who's been writing about business heroes and their success stories. So looking forward to that chat and we'll speak again soon.